Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Sridevi, who was also a fellow traveler on our recent trip to Africa. Welcome, Sridevi.
Hi, Jen.
Hey. So last week we got to hear a little from Sherry and Ashwini, kind of talking about their perspective of being there after so many years and some of the process things and that sort of thing. And we thought it would be fun to have you on, especially given the extraordinary role that you play in the project with really assisting and tracking details and that kind of thing, to get to cover some of the highlights in terms of the content of what we looked at during the trip and a little bit about what that means going forward.
Sure, absolutely. I feel like there's so much that I don't even know where to begin.
No, me too. I was thinking to myself, I don't envy her position. We really need several of these, actually. We could take the whole hour easily.
Yeah. I mean, I guess what I would say, Jen, one of the major places that we really looked at on this trip is due to what's happened in the last year with our girls in the girls program, which is, when we first started, versions of the girls program, I think the first part was, okay, let's assist them in supporting their education. Let's focus on making sure they get their weekly kwacha so they can buy things to help with, their school and their, things that are important, like their soap, and other things that would help them, I would project feel better about how they are. Mm-hmm. And then as the girls got older and as we learned more, and then having our first two, now four girls get accepted into college, there are major shifts now in kind of looking at, wow, what is this next phase of how do we support those girls? And then now you have those girls inspiring this next group of girls who I just project have a sense of, it's what we talk about in practice, it's the experience. They're like watching their friends go to college and it's like, oh, so we used to think maybe it could happen, sure, maybe, but it is. And wow, I think that's really lit a spark with so many of our girls to see the ideal almost become the actual, I guess.
Me too. Oh, my gosh. Me too. I just have goosebumps all over. And, there's that image in practice of, I can't do it justice, so I won't attempt to. But essentially there's the potential that the teacher's role is that the students can, if needed, can stand on the teacher's shoulders and get an even higher view. So it builds on itself in a way. And mm-hmm. I just had that image of, and we talked about it. Remember that day when, oh my gosh, we had so many ups and downs on the trip, but the day we were talking to Esther and Rachel and just saying, mm-hmm. I mean, you girls are the pioneers, and so you have a lot of benefits, and you also have a lot on your shoulders, and there's a lot mm-hmm. that even the girls next year or the year after that are not going to face, and that they're just going to keep standing on each other's shoulders and go to these greater and greater heights as they do that. So, yes, I could not agree more. It's incredible.
Yeah. And just speaking of Esther and Rachel, I think one of the most impactful moments on the trip was having one of the most significant conversations with them than I think, we've ever had before. And really mm-hmm. getting a sense for these girls that there is a level of, I know what I can do. I know my value. And so when I'm up in a situation where I feel like, I don't know about how that happened, and they're sharing their experience with us, that was just so powerful because I felt like it speaks to, part of the girls program is on Saturdays, they talk about values, they talk about so many different things and ways to support the girls outside of education, but what is it like living in Tantalum in that environment and how can you continue on the path that you're on? And I just got such a sense, now it's been a year, 2 years of having these weekly conversations with these girls participating and to see two girls who were just really owning their worth in a way and able to vocalize that, I thought was really powerful.
Yeah, and me too. I mean, it was you who was first talking with them on that day and just reporting back, and we all immediately saw the significance on it. you know, they being the ones to say, you know, hey, I think this is, you know, we gotta look at this again because I know I can do that. And so I know, and just thought, wow, that's extraordinary. You know, I mean, that's extraordinary for any girl anywhere in the world to have that attitude of mind, because so often girls are socialized to not have that outlook. But to have a girl, you know, growing up in a very poor situation, and it's just huge kudos to the team in terms of the values, as you say, that they're instilling in the girls.
Yeah. And another thing that I thought was really powerful on this trip was getting to really spend some time with Anne, one of our teachers, and to watch Anne step into her own place of excitement about really getting to be a part of something and leading a much more structured, tailored English program. And it just was, again, it's one of these moments where, you know, every year it's like we go back, and I think I remember sharing stories. I remember in the first years the girls would like barely even smile at us. And in the second year they kind of said, hi, how are you? And in the third year, then they'd start coming up to us and really talking with us. And, you know, now, you know, we had an experience where we were at our lodge, and one of the girls called up Teresa on the phone to talk to us and tell us that she was excited to see us. And I'm like, okay, wow.
This is new. And,
And to just, you know, I had this moment with Anne. I remember when we were talking about how we wanted to work with the girls, what she thought. She was like, Sridevi, first what I want to do is spelling. Once they've mastered spelling, let's do this, and then let's do this. And she had such a clear vision of what she thought would be helpful. And I think that having that type of, having more of that leadership on the ground there every day, I think is going to be really transformative and powerful.
Yeah, me too. You know, as you're talking, I'm just thinking of this image that I always think of in practice, of, you know, that place where you're watering the ground, you're putting the fertilizer in, you know, you're planting all the seeds, and it can take some time, right? And I think there's that, it's the giant bamboo plant that apparently you have to water for 5 years before anything happens. In fact, we saw a YouTube video of that with the team a couple of years ago.
Oh, my gosh.
And remember that?
Yeah.
And what I just saw when you were saying all of that is, I think we're just in a time right now where all of these shoots are coming up, and it's so extraordinary for all of us. I mean, Sherry and Ashwini talked about it too, how lit up the whole team was, every single cooperative member, no one shy, everyone coming forward, everyone participating, everyone so excited. I mean, that day when we came back with Esther and Rachel with the news that they were in nursing school, I mean, everybody, just the drums came out, the dancing, it was just, you know, I think everyone's just stunned by seeing those shoots come up. You know, all those years of the hard work are really paying off.
Yeah, and actually, you know, I feel like one of the last major themes and experiences that I really felt deeply this trip in so many ways, but that sense, and I think we wrote about it in the blog, sympathetic joy. I mean, that sense of the community celebration, this sense of family and generosity between Susan getting her new wheelchair, to Rachel and Esther getting into college, to Brenda getting her drum. It's such a model of incredible, I project, lack of ego and complete compassion. You know, it's just really extraordinary to see how these individuals have become this incredible family, and one person's celebration is everybody's joy.
Yes, and that deep trust, and almost, it's funny, the word that just came up was relaxation, I project that's growing amongst all of us to realize we are part of a family. And what that means is no one's getting left behind. Whatever we have to do, we'll do it. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, we're so committed to each other. So the one I was thinking about was talking back about Esther and Rachel. So I can't remember, you know, where we wrote what, and was that in a newsletter or the blog or whatever, but just to give the basic background, you know, the girl, Rachel and Esther, who had retaken their 12th grade exams last year, which is a whole huge success story in itself, but they did that, and they passed all their exams, and so they applied to nursing school, and the first time through, because of the interviews, they didn't get in. And so one of the things we were doing on the ground there, and that all happened while we were there, is looking into, you know, what's going on with that. So basically what ended up happening is that and that was that conversation that you had with the girls, is they started to open up to us and say, hey, guess what? You know, here's the thing. You know what questions they were asking us in the interview were things like, what does UNICEF mean? Or name the five candidates who were, you know, in the last Zambian election. Or, you know, stuff that's like, as Esther said, I mean, I covered what UNICEF meant in, like, I think it was in sixth grade. But I haven't talked about it since then, so I don't really know what that, you know, sort of, so places like that. And what was extraordinary about it was their ability to stand up and advocate for themselves. Mm. And I will never forget that when we came back from the school that day, my favorite line was when Beatrice came and greeted us, Beatrice being one of the other teachers. She just had this huge smile on her face, and she said, we're fighters.
Mm.
And I just, that's what I got from it is, that's right. That's exactly right. We're up against a lot, but that's okay because we have an incredible family, an incredible Sangha.
Yeah. Wow. Mm. Oh, and I don't know if we have time, but I just have to do the last other great memory and critical Please. Point of the trip was Tukatani Vocational School and meeting Jeff, I can't remember his last name, but to be at a place where their vision statement, their mission statement, and the person who was head of their training program felt like it completely aligned with everything we were going for, wow.
Completely wow. Completely wow. And you could just tell everything in that place was well done. Not fancy, not overdone, not, you know, not sort of a sense of some big Western something comes in and puts a big albatross in the middle of, you know, a fancy clinic in the middle of, not at all like that, but well done. Attention to detail. It was just so extraordinary. I think we'll be talking a lot more about that. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and just one thing that he said when we were talking with them about our girls and what we wanted to do and the what he talked about, the philosophy of how important it is to model, and that they had modeled the people who started were now working for them and working at different levels of the organization. And his like, so are you going to hire your girls back, you know, to work for you guys? That's really important. And I just loved that because it's that place of we continue to stay connected. This is our community, you know, and how we continue to, and just, you know, I think one of the other things we talked about, Jen, on this trip was full circle moments.
So the students who are who learn tailoring there, or who learn carpentry there, or who do the catering, they then come back to teach those courses, right? And to be the heads of the departments, and Oh, and that did open up just a huge possibility for us in terms of, you know, I mean, down the line, but just all kinds of things that we can do with our graduates. So, it's extraordinary. So exciting. Yeah. So I'll just say that I was on our site earlier today, our Celebrate Family, Courage Family Generosity, and we are over halfway to our goal, 54,000.
So exciting.
And it is, talk about family. And we can do it. It's going to take all of us. It truly is. Yeah. So it's whatever it is, December 14th, 15th, something. and we've got till January 15th. So anyone who hasn't jumped into the fun, it's out there just waiting for all of us to jump in and be part of the family. So big open invitation to all of us.
Absolutely.
All right, Sridevi. Well, thank you so much. You know, as I say, we'll definitely, as the all of those things develop, we'll be talking more about it throughout the year and giving people updates and that sort of thing. But thank you so much for being with us, and thank you so much for everything you're doing for the project.
Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you. Thank Sherry, Ashwini, all of the people participating in the project and Sangha. It's like I've said to several people, it's been the greatest privilege of my life to be allowed to participate in this way. It's really, it's the best.
It is. It is. It really is. The more you give, the more you get. Yep. Indeed. All right. Thank you, Sridevi. Take good care.
Thank you so much, Jen. Bye.
Bye-bye. And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Sridevi. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening, Michael.
It's hard to say good afternoon when it's almost dark out there.
I know. I know, but we're just days away from the shortest day of the year, so, you know, we have hope.
Yes, we do. And that conversation gave me a lot of hope. That was fabulous.
Oh, it's so exciting. Yeah, it is just so thrilling. Yeah.
Yes.
So I'm going to say this to you because I haven't had a chance to say it to Jen yet. But when they were talking about, I think it's Twickatani is how it's pronounced, the vocational school that that, as Jen said, we're going to be talking more about. I have my first candidate for that school. His name is Peter, and I just adore him, and he's the kind of he's the handy guy. He's the guy that, you know, does everything around the property. And I want him to be the first one to go to that school and get trained in all of the things that will make his life easier and our lives better, because he'll be even more skilled at his job. And it speaks to that, you know, hiring people back. So offering that training, and then he has a job guaranteed. He has one now, so it's guaranteed when he comes back. And again, another role model for the fellas that this is something you could do. You could work hard and go to that school and learn skills and trades and that sort of thing. So I'm excited about that one too.
Yes. Yeah, that sounds fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
And what dropped in as Jen and Sri Devi were talking about the girls, what dropped in was the benefits that I receive when I immerse myself in practice, and the benefits those girls have when they immerse themselves in a supportive community that is rooting for their success and does everything it can to block out the voices and the doubts and the fears and all that. It's just fabulous.
Oh, it's just so very good in every way.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It was funny. Hang on just one second there, Michael.
Yeah.
I'll let you get to it. But somebody was, I was talking with somebody about this, and I didn't expect to have the conversation. We were talking about something else, and, he just asked me what I was up to, And so I told him that I was just recently back from Africa, and, oh, what are you doing there? And so I told him, and talking about the program, and he said, and so what is your vision for that? How's it? It's like, that is the assumption that everybody has. Okay, so you'll do that, and then, of course, you'll want to scale this whole thing, and so where is that? It's kind of like your family in that sense of, family that you really like. You're not looking forward to getting rid of them. It's not that these people are like children to us, but it is more that relationship, in the sense that we're not looking to get rid of one another. We're not waiting until this is over and we go on to do something else. It's just not like that. So in that way, it is very practice, right? Because in the same way, we don't look at practice in terms of, well, people often do in the beginning, but okay, well, how long do I have to do this before then I don't have to do this any longer? That sort of thing. So, all right, announcements.
Okay. Celebrate Courage, Generosity, and Family as part of the Africa Project by signing up for one of our fabulous fundraising teams. Our goal is to raise the $100,000 needed annually to support the work of this wonderful project. And I see that the numbers have gone up even from what Jen reported a few minutes ago.
Is that right? What'd you find?
We have 55,575 right now.
Wow. Isn't
great.
That marvelous?
Yes, fabulous.
Kids going to eat, kids going to go to school, kids going to
mm-hmm.
have jobs when they grow up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so good.
Yes. Compassionate scheduling with the mentor, group coaching. We'll look at creating a schedule based in kindness that allows us to take good care of ourselves as we live our daily lives. The coaching session begins January 8th. And Reflective Listening Buddies offers weekly support for conscious, compassionate awareness, requiring participants to show up to practice being present. A new quarter begins January 15th. And the 2019 schedule preview is posted, so check it out and mark your calendars for the kickoff on January 19th.
Uh-huh.
Yes. And for these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can press *6 and then 1 to make guest show and get in the queue. And a conversation on one topic that lasts about 5 minutes is great. Okay, you ready, Sherry?
Ooh. I'm ready.
All right. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. It's Tracy.
Hey, Tracy.
Hey, I vote for Peter, too.
Yeah, do you remember Peter?
I surely do remember Peter.
Yeah, and it was so fun. I had this moment when there was this tall, gorgeous young woman there in the group, and somebody said, "This is Peter's daughter." And, oh my God! No, she's only a little tiny person. So that was very fun. Yeah. All right. What are you up to?
So, this is the first. I hit *6. I don't even really know. I'm not even sure what I'm going to say, but I felt like I wanted to jump in here. This is the first that I have been able to listen to the radio show live. I've had another commitment over the last 12 weeks on Tuesday evenings, and I think what I'm looking at is, and even hearing about the mentor program of the compassionate scheduling, I need some compassionate scheduling, and I need a course on compassionate pruning or delegating or letting go. And I think what I've been looking at a lot is, you know, life is very full, and it's felt very rich and great, and there's a lot that life is a really quick moving river right now.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, there's not been a lot of suffering except for around the compassionate scheduling of, I just can't do everything. I can't give my attention to all the places that I'd like to give my attention to. And
mm-hmm.
getting a little foggy, I don't know if foggy is the right word, but that place of discernment of what's my will versus thy will. And so that's what I'd like to get some guidance on.
Uh-huh. And so one of the things that I just asked you about, I can't remember. We were just talking about this somewhere recently, that the more we practice, the more possibilities seem to show up for us because we're open to more things.
Yes.
And that it starts getting that that image of drinking out of a fire hydrant or fire hose,
yes.
You know, that sort of, there's just so much. Okay, all right, I get it.
Yes.
Everything is possible. Yes, everything is possible. And then we run into the, but I can't do everything because there isn't enough time in the day or days in the week or whatever it is. And so what we're looking at is getting to that place of saying yes, because we always want to do that, right? And then seeing what life actually shows up with. Because a lot of times, it doesn't turn out that what we said yes to actually materializes.
Okay.
Yeah? So for me,
yep.
I think the example I used was writing books. that there are always 15 subjects that a person could write a practice book on, but that's not possible. So which one actually bubbles up to the top? Which one sticks around? Which one keeps being a possibility? Not just an idea that passes through, but actually shows up as the next thing for me to be working on. Can you sort of picture that?
I can absolutely picture that. And I can picture that which one keeps bubbling up. And then there's a place of, there's the place of some things are harder that might be new. That take, like, for example, writing is very difficult for me. Like, I've never really learned how to write, and I've had opportunities to do more writing, or I've been required to do writing for some different things, and it doesn't, I think when I'm starting to answer my own question, it's like I'm being asked to show up in that way, and it's something that I wouldn't, it's not bubbling up within me, but it's bubbling up within life, and I'm saying yes, and it takes me a really long time, and I think that's where there's I have to look at my own expectation of how long I think it should take and how long it's taking.
Yes, and if I may offer something else here that can go with this. I never learned to write either, which is why I got a good editor.
Yeah. Oh, that's
so sometimes, right? Sometimes there's an assumption that because I've said yes to something, that means it's all on me. And oftentimes it's not our skill set to do every piece of whatever it is that's being asked. And so what's realistic for you? You know, if you're going to write an article and it's going to take 4 hours a day for the next month, that won't work.
Yeah.
And it's not my experience that we're ever asked to do something like that. If I find myself in that place, then I'm assuming something and holding on to something that's just not true. Because that kind of position starts feeling like a contest or some kind of punishment. You know, I've said yes to something I really shouldn't have because it's overwhelming and it's awful. And it's when I find myself in that place, I know that's not an authentic yes. It might have been, but by the time I find myself in that place, something else has taken over.
Okay, that's good to hear. Yes. Yep.
And I have one more for you, Tracy, to consider. And that is you get asked to do something, and you're going to say yes to it, but it doesn't mean yes right now. So yes, okay, I could take that, I could start next month.
Yeah,
which is something that Ashwini has brought to our organization, right? You know, you can give her any idea, and it'll be, but that certainly is a possibility. And we could look at that for next year.
Yes.
But it's not going to be that urgent place that conditioning puts us in. Okay, this is great. We need to do this right now.
Yes. Yep, that's yeah. Of course, that one resonates with me too. Yes, and the, you know, the other piece is when to let go of something, and I guess it's the same as when we're saying yes to something, not letting go as a yes to. I've just had a lot of falling out with my job, and I mean, we've talked about this so many times. I'm really ready to leave, and I also rely on the resources from that job. And I have, you know, started something else too. And I guess that's just I'm just going to know in my heart someday, yes?
Yes. And that's one of those places where the danger is this is the way that is for me. Okay. So I get to a place where I know that something is so, because it's come up 1,000 times, right? and I know it. And so in this case, I would say, okay, yes, I'm going to let that go. And then the voices kick in. Well, mm-hmm. You can't do that, because what's going to happen with this? Yeah. What's going to happen with that? And so for those other 1,000 times or whatever, I've said, all right, that's true. And I've gone against what I know, in quotes, you know, the way we know things. I've gone against that in order to go with conditioning. And so I'm going to find myself in that position until I don't do that. And it's only when I, you know, it's the that image of you've got one foot on the dock and one foot on the boat, and the boat is drifting. At some point, we got to commit to something. So I'm either going to jump on the dock or I'm going to go with the boat. But otherwise, I'm going to swim.
Yeah, I'm swimming a lot.
Yeah. Yes, because, you know, Tracy, if we're busy doing everything ourselves, we're not open to help.
Right.
And in my experience, life is not going to push. You know, it's you don't want help, that's fine. But it's good not to be confused about why I'm not getting any help.
Yeah, because I'm hanging on to something that...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So it's a kind of a growing faith. Right? That's a process of growing faith. And we usually choose faith when we can't, you know, when our fingernails are giving out. We've held on so long, there's just nothing left to hold on any longer. And that's often a time when we find faith.
Okay. Good. Well, thank you.
You are so welcome. Anytime.
So
don't be a stranger.
So good to be on this call.
Good. I'm glad. Yeah. And maybe, you know, just some long, deep breaths.
Yes, that's what feels the best. It's just some space. And as you know, that story of me flailing in the water and surrendering, and the very clear picture came, and I go back to that over and over, and it's just long, deep breaths and letting the intuition and the picture arrive, and then having the faith to step off the dock.
Yes, because the truth of the matter is, you've always been fine.
I have always been fine.
You have no experience of not, and which
Correct.
Is true for all of us. I mean, although conditioned mind would start shrieking about the time with this and that, and this, but the reality is, here we are. If we're not here, we're not a part of this conversation, and that's a different story. So if we're here, the thing we can know is we've always been fine.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let me know.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
Thanks, Tracy.
Well, Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Tracy. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. It's Ramita in Charleston.
Hello, Ramita. How are you this
Hello.
Evening?
I'm lovely. I'm good. I'm happy to be here. And just to be in part of the conversation, you know, thinking about Africa and, you know, listening to that conversation with Sri Devi and Jen, I'm just filled with the gratitude for what the folks in Kentalomba are giving us. You know, some of the fundraising, you know, I was thinking of giving to them, but it's such a clear example of how giving and receiving are, you know, two sides of the same coin, or you know, just an illusion that there's a difference or a separation or it's a one-way thing.
Yeah, and when we stop, when we actually get a picture of what's going on there, and these kids, just the kids, forget the adults for a minute, but these kids who are raised in mud huts without any water or electricity or enough to eat or any of the things that we just assume would make life unbearable. And here they come. they've got an opportunity, and by golly, they're going to go for it. And they see an opening and they're going to go for it. And if that isn't something that we all need to get, I don't know what is.
Absolutely. I mean, to see my own life and the places that I stumble and I cower, and then to see what's going on in Kentalomba, and what a clear example of a whole community operating with compassionate awareness and what's
mm-hmm.
possible there.
Yeah, and there's
no, so inspirational.
Oh, that's too hard, or, you know, I don't feel like it, or I don't know. you know, there isn't any of that. You're starving to death.
Mm-hmm.
You see an opening. Yeah. You're going to run for it.
Yeah, so a lot of gratitude for what I am getting from them, and just the really magical opportunity it is. And we now have 4 people in nursing school. Is that
4
what's going on?
4 young women.
Man.
Yeah, 2 made it immediately, and then as Jen was describing, 2 were asked these, you know, pretty obscure questions that their education, you know, they don't have television. They don't have newspapers. They don't have magazines. They do not have access to the larger world that privileged kids have. And so, you know, it's really unfair to ask them about things that they just can't possibly know about. But the people asking the questions, even they, growing up in the same country where there is so much of this kind of circumstance, that didn't occur to them. That when they asked the girls about the things that their education prepared them for, flying colors, no problem. They can do it.
Right.
So can they get through nursing school? Absolutely, because they'll be given what they need to learn, and they will learn it. But don't ask them, you know, who was Time Person of the Year last year, because they're not going to know.
Right. And to have that as a barrier to being the kind of people who will bring healing back to their community. And to be able to able to advocate for themselves. My goodness, what kind of candidates for higher education? I can't imagine a better candidate than someone who can stand up and say, I can do this work. And
I can do this. I know I can. Do that. Give me a chance.
So I got to remind myself.
I can do this. I can do this.
So can I. Thank you. Thank you, Living Compassion in Cantaloma, for showing me what I can do.
It's so good, isn't it? All right. Thank you, Amita.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Amita. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Sherry and Michael. It's Jeff in North Carolina.
Hello,
hey, Jeff.
Hey. this is so great. Oh, my gosh. I'm telling you, that was so inspiring, that conversation with Jen and Sri Devi. I just can't say. I just so many things about it. As was just talked about, you know, the girls speaking up for themselves, or Beatrice saying with a huge smile on her face, "We're fighters," you know. Just everything. I've said this before, but I really want to say it again. Just the links to which we're going to communicate what's going on in Cantaloupe to the entire Sangha, and the care with which that is done, so that we really get it, how the odds that people are up against, and the incredible courage and love and dedication that it's taking, the heart that it's taking, for all of this to happen, is just so extraordinary. And I really want to say, I know there's a huge amount of time and energy and effort that goes into communicating that in a way that we all spread out through all over the world, get to receive it and get to participate in it. And we get to give and receive, through our fundraisers and the people that are touched who are not part of the Sangha, and, by those fundraisers. And, it's just, oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm really glad to hear you say that, Jeff, because one of the point that I took from what you were saying that's important to me is that it's what's happening there is communicated in a way that makes clear we're all doing this, and the all, as you say, is beyond Sangha. I mean, so many people in the Sangha, through a fundraiser like the one that's happening now, reach out to people that they work with, or family members, or people who have nothing to do with the Sangha, but they support this, and that people feel like it's our project. It's our project, and the our is anybody who wants to be a part of the hour. It's not this group of, because so often it's this group of people who are doing something, and you give them the money and they go do whatever that is, and which is wonderful. I'm really glad there are so many people doing so many things, and I'm actually glad that I can just give them money and they'll go do that thing that I can't do because I'm busy doing these other things. But with this particular project, it is so much more intimate than that. Mm-hmm. Right? It really is us And the us includes, right, all of us. And part of that us is those folks on the other side of the world who are doing what they're doing. So that, I'm really glad to hear that it doesn't, that you feel really included in what's happening. And not just because you give money, but you feel included because you know these people and you know the stories of their lives and you're rooting for them and you know when they're successful and you know when something tragic has happened to them and you know them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amen. Yeah. No separation. That's what I hear you
talking separation.
About.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, love. And and no separation. It's all of us, you know. And that's what the reality. I believe that we live in all of us. It's that we don't recognize it. That, you know, it's that we're all waking up, whether consciously or not. You know, all of us on the planet are waking up, and and here we get to realize it. That it's we. That it's we, that there's no separation. And that.
Which is the next important part of that, right? It's in training. It's so there's us. It's, you know, me and the people I know. That's us. You know, it's my family and my friends, and that's us. And then we get with something like Sangha, and us gets really big. Now there's a really big us. And then. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, you know, us starts including people on the other side of the world, people who don't look like us and don't have a life that's anything like us, but they're us, right? And then, as you say, it's not a leap to realize the whole world is us.
Yeah. Yeah, once you've had that experience one time, then that door can never be fully closed again. It can be opened wider and wider. I want to say that the bridge walk, you know, that those interviews, those discussions, oh my gosh, again, you know, it was just blowing me away again and again. What I felt like was the heart. It was, Teresa was talking about the heart, the level of dedication and caring and love and willingness to work so hard for the children, for, you know, just for a dedicated life of service that I heard about over and over and over and over again at a level of commitment, of incredibly hard work, you know, in so many cases. And for people who have their own families, you know, isn't that enough, right? But then to give so much time and energy. And I love what Teresa said about, you know, when I'm starting, you know, whatever she said, I can't remember, a headache or whatever, and I'm feeling sick, you know, I need to not go off on my own, but I need to come back and be part of things, because I know by being part of things, that's how I'm going to feel better. And,
it's just so different from Western conditioning, isn't it? So there's something going on with me. I really need to isolate, and I need to focus on that. And they're not saying it out of any kind of guilt or a fear of not being paid or any of that. It's just, I don't want to be separated from what I love, from the people I love and the work that I love. How would that take care of me? I'm never going to feel better that way. I'm only going to feel better when I'm right there in the heart of love.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
We have much to learn from these very simple people.
Yep. Yep. So true. I'm so glad we're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
me too.
Thank you.
Somebody said, Jeff, before I let you go, somebody
sure.
said, yeah. Are you there? Am I there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. I'm here.
Okay.
You're here.
Okay. We're here. It's us. somebody said, they just kind of looked at me in wonder and said, what are the odds that you would ever wind up in a place like this? Because it is, you know, I would have never imagined it. If people, I would have never imagined it. I thought I was going to be in Assisi, Italy, right? And I thought I was going to Assisi, Italy to do something in Assisi, Italy. Not I was going there to meet Brother John, who would invite me to this place out at the ends of the earth to meet this group of people who were going to become so central to my life.
Wow.
I mean, and that's the, you know, talking with Tracy about saying yes, you know, that's the kind of thing we never know. We just never know where this is going. We don't know the gifts, the blessings that are in store for us.
Wow. That's a really good argument for giving up my ideas.
Isn't it? Yeah, because again, as we say regularly, life has so much more to offer us than we would ever be willing to give to ourselves.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. Wow. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Michael.
All
thank
right.
you, Sangha. Thank you, Big Sangha.
Big Sangha. All right. Bye-bye. Good night,
now.
Jeff.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jeff. Another fabulous conversation, Sherry.
Mm.
And we are going to hear from our coaching program, and then we'll be back to talk with more callers.
All right.
How we do anything is how we do everything, which is very good news because seeing through one conditioned process reveals it everywhere. Zen awareness coaching uses tried and true practices like recording and listening, process mapping, and weekly practice commitments to take the mystery out of ego's bamboozles. If you have ever attended a There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat and are tired of getting caught in the same old suffering processes, Zen awareness coaching is for you. To request a coach, email zenawarenesscoach@livingcompassion.org. That's zenawarenesscoach, all one word, @livingcompassion.org. Getting a coach will support you in making the anything and everything of your life exactly what the heart desires.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Sherry. This is Beth in Pittsburgh.
Hey, Beth. Hey, Beth in Pittsburgh.
I was not expecting to get on.
You weren't?
No. I got on.
What a happy surprise.
Like 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, and I talked to Chris.
Ah,
so
a lovely person.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a bit of a deer in the headlights kind of experience.
Uh-huh.
And I always have a couple of things that I'm looking at ready to kind of go, but they're just all scattered.
Uh-huh.
When I heard the,
that's fine.
You are unmuted.
Uh-huh, that's good. So we could just talk about that, right? Because that's always good to do.
Well, it is
right?
up now.
Yeah, because conditioning wants us to believe that we have to have it all together, which means we have to look to it in order to know and be all right and that sort of thing. And, of course, we don't, not at all. So we get to practice just being here with whatever is going on right now. The very
which is
best
actually
way.
Something that I was kind of teasing out this week, was kind of like breaking down what conditioning is.
Uh-huh.
Because it's been quite a while since I did the two Nothing Wrong With Yous that I did. but just like, you know, conditioning, it's like the stuff I inherited from my parents and their parents and their parents and their parents, stuff that I got from growing up in Indiana and, you know, the 1960s, stuff that I got that I was born with, that came with me from the previous life.
God knows where. Yeah.
And then the hungry
everywhere ghost. You've been before. And then hungry ghosts.
Yeah, so it's
munching
like
away.
Conditioning and kind of like figuring out, you know, what belongs in which category. But the one that it's the hungry ghost part that is kind of the one that's, I think, like the active dynamic worm of it. Like
the other stuff is like neural pathways.
And you can, you know, do things with those, like don't touch them and then they'll heal over. I do a lot of things differently because, you know, I don't live in Indiana anymore.
It's not the 60s.
You know, it's not the 60s. But every time I open my mouth, my mom comes out. You know, just,
That's one that of the things that I'm sure you know we kid about, right? Oh, my God, I hope I'm not my mother or for guys, oh, my God, I don't want to be my father. And then you hit age 40 and you realize, oops, I am.
Yeah, and now I'm
then we start really looking. Yeah.
But that just seems kind of humorous. You know, kind of, you know, it's that's the animal experience of this lifetime. But there's
but the hungry ghost.
But the hungry ghost. I just re-listened to Screwtape, which kind of started some of this, these kind of, because it's like you use the word conditioning all the time, but so it gets a little deconditioned.
Yes.
The word.
Yeah. Yes. It's why I resist mightily people using acronyms.
Ha.
EKC. No. We don't want to do that. We want to stay dialed into what this is and what we're saying and what it means. We don't want to become desensitized. Yeah.
Particularly because we're up against the hungry ghost.
That's
is,
right. Gobbling up that life force.
Yeah, being farmed. It doesn't feel good. I don't want to be farmed.
Right, exactly. Yes, yes. And that it doesn't feel good can be just the best incentive in the world for not falling asleep. Because we know that we will, right? It's not, oh, God, I hope I don't. No. I will. Unless I am vigilant all the time, I will. Because, as you pointed out, it's my parents and their parents and their parents and their parents and their parents forever.
Yes. And just as my mother was never free of that, you know, I mean, that's part of the karma soup. Those are all the ingredients in the stew.
Yes.
And I don't know if it was on this conversation or the one earlier today where you were talking about it's kind of like it's without if you resist the sandpaper, you'll never become smooth.
Yes. Isn't that a good one? Yeah, so throw yourself on the sandpaper. Yeah. Yeah. But we have to want to be smooth more than we want to listen to, oh, no. Don't put me on the sandpaper from conditioning.
Yeah. I'm kind of, and seeing, and you're saying that I'm kind of seeing it's the hungry ghost that doesn't want to be smooth.
That's right. That's exactly right.
And also it's like the root chakra, kind of like the root chakra wants me to stay in the tribe.
That's right. It's tribe.
It's tribe, yeah. So it's like in stepping out of the tribe, that's throwing yourself on the sandpaper.
Yes,
Yes. And the other piece of this that I think is just critical is a sense of humor. You know, I don't want to get political here. I do it in a heartbeat, but I always resist it. But you know, one of the things that's going on, I think, in our country now, especially now, maybe always, but especially now, is that people take seriously what should be laughed at.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Because
they don't
the
know what
one
to do with
thing
laughter. Yeah.
That yes, ego cannot stand to be laughed at. It does what it does to people because people take it seriously, because they're afraid, because they feel bad, because this is real, because this is awful, because this is, and if we could see it for what it is, if we could see it for the ridiculous joke that it is, it would immediately have no power over us. Because it doesn't.
And then we would be
it only
yeah.
has the power
yeah.
we give it, right? Yeah.
Yes. And I do know this. I do. I mean, when you say it, I can remember instances in my life of breaking through. And it's like you never get to it by working the problem, but just seeing the joke of it, finding the humor
yes.
of it.
Yes. You're suddenly free of it. And then it isn't even a problem.
Huh.
Yeah, and that's where we get to. Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, it is a problem.
And maybe, you know, maybe that's it. I'll often tell people, I of course I don't know this, but if I had to speculate, I would say this plane of existence is about us learning to love unconditionally. Maybe it's about us developing a sense of humor.
Huh.
Because that is such a quick move to the unconditional. And of course, we're never, that sense of humor is never about anything other than ego. Ego is the only thing we're ever laughing at. We laugh with life, we laugh at ego.
Yes. To everything that has been, thank you. To everything that is to come, yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's where the humor lies. Mm-hmm.
That's it. Yeah.
I forget who said that.
Hey.
Besides you.
Oh, I didn't. Dag Hammarskjöld said that. Do you know, interesting little fact, I don't know if you know this, but Dag Hammarskjöld died in a plane crash in Ndola, Zambia. And one of the main streets there, I think, Jen could help me out on this, but the street that we go on to go out to Cantalomba is Dag Hammarskjöld Avenue.
Ha.
Isn't that something?
That is really
I think
something.
He was one of the great human beings of all time.
And he wrote it down.
Pardon me?
And he wrote it down.
Yes.
He was a great human being, and just the way he says things just
yes.
sticks.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's not so serious.
Oh, right, right. For everything that has been, thank you. For everything to come, yes. That is a person who is not taking egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate seriously. Yeah.
Thank you.
You are so welcome. I'm glad you got on twice in 2 or 3 weeks. My pleasure.
You
take
really
care of yourself.
Me.
You're
you, Sherry.
wrecking that whole story, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Thank you, Beth.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Beth. And Sherry, I think we have time for one more call here.
Oh, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Andrea.
Hello, Andrea.
Yeah.
What are you up to?
Oh, I called in. I had a question. I was listening to a show a while ago, and actually it was Project Joy about a year ago, and I remembering something that you said, which was, it doesn't matter how we feel. It matters what we choose.
Yep. Yep. Yes.
Yeah.
Getting over how we feel. Who cares how we feel? Those kinds of things. Yep.
Yeah. Well, okay. So I guess conditioning may have gotten a hold of this because I'm noodling it because I'm basically right now I have a choice that I need to make between two mm-hmm. possibilities. And it feels like one of, you know, like I feel like if one of them is more, lights me up more and feels more compatible with me, that's the choice I would want to make. And now I see, you know, conditioning coming in and saying, well, I believe it's conditioning, who knows? Anyway, it probably is since it's a conversation. And, you know, well, you know, you shouldn't go by how you feel.
Uh-huh. Well, yes, I would actually agree with that because here's the reason. You have two choices. If you're going to entertain a conversation in conditioned mind, whatever you choose is going to be the wrong choice.
Right.
Yeah? So right now, this, you know, no, I think that would really light me up. That's more in keeping with how I, but that's, but conditioning is not going to say, once you make that, good job. All right, now you get to be lit up for the rest of your life. It's going to
right.
go to work to prove that this was a bad choice and that, in fact, you're not lit up and blah, 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 just the way it always does with everything in our lives. So if you don't consider how you feel, period, now or ever, as the choice point, if that's a good way to say that, if, for instance, you're choosing, say, unconditional love, it doesn't matter. None of it matters. If you're not lit up, okay, you still choose unconditional love. If you are lit up, okay, you still choose unconditional love. The voices are saying, blah, 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 blah. I don't care. I choose unconditional love.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I guess what's coming up is, well, then how do we make a choice? You know, if there's two different things one can do and you need to choose one, how do you choose?
Well, there are a number of ways to do it, but one of my favorites is flipping a coin.
Yes, yes. Okay.
Yeah. And, of course, ego just goes nuts. You can't do that. Why? Because it really cares about what you choose, or that it's actually going to treat you better if you make the right choice? No. But you're giving it all this attention as you noodle about what the right choice is. That's what it's going for. If you just flip a coin and go, okay, well, good, there, done, I choose unconditional love, it's got nothing. But you, on the other hand, will have everything.
Yeah, and just this conversation with you, I'm just seeing how this whole content led up to this point right now and how there's been a lot of conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
With
noodle, noodle,
fear.
Noodle. Yeah, oh yeah, you're going to make a mistake. Everything's riding on this. This is big. This is a big life choice. No, it isn't. You're going to be somewhere doing something until you're not. If you can enjoy anything, you can enjoy anything. If you can't enjoy anything, you're not going to enjoy anything. So it doesn't actually matter. which doesn't mean, now let me hasten to say, in case any, you know, conditioning is going to get hold of this, there's somebody in a miserable, hideous job, and the voice is going to say, well, but you should stay in because if you're the right spiritual person, you could be happy anywhere. All you need to do is choose unconditional love. Yeah, choose unconditional love, go get a better job.
Okay. Oh, gosh. Yeah.
It's really kind of straightforward, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. Write the two things. Write one on a piece of paper. Write another one on a piece of paper. Have Ziggy put one in each of his hands and put his hands behind his back, and then you pick one.
Okay. I will. He's sitting right here, so I
Family fun.
Yeah. Yes.
Let him make the choice. Yeah. Of course he wouldn't be making the choice. You'd be making the choice. He would just be assisting you. He's the coin.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank
Your
you.
Your assignment
this was really helpful. Yes.
Good.
Yes. Thank you.
I'm so glad. You are so welcome. Keep having fun.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, I am. I am.
Okay, good. All right. Thank you, too.
All right. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Andrea. Sherry, it's great to end on a let's get out of the noodling and come back here. Great way to end the
show. No more feeding those hungry ghosts. We're just going to get on with enjoying life. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Yes. Well, thank you so much, Michael.
And thank you, Sherry. It was a great show.
Yeah. Talk to you soon. All right. Go happy. Bye-bye.
Go happy. Bye.